Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So is this really the last day I wear the uniform? Like, if they lose today, is that
it? Oh, it's over. That's one thing I think we can all agree on. Honestly, I think Celia had the right idea. I think you should burn it if they.
But what if it's not, you know, my fault?
It probably isn't, but...
Probably isn't?
Too bad.
Oh, really? Probably isn't my fault?
Too bad.
All right, it's unfinished business here. Our coverage of the playoffs, obviously, on WIP, presented by Delaware Valley Honda. Reminder... Another game in 8 hours and 3 minutes. You imagine that, John?
No.
In 8 hours and 3 minutes,
they play another game. I cannot imagine it. I am not ready at all. I'm nowhere close to prepared for this because right now I'm too negative. Right now my brain can't get positive. My brain can't feel like this team is where it needs to be. My brain is viewing the Mets as the team that's ready, and I don't want to feel like that.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's start it off with Chuck in Cherry Hill. A lot of look back and a lot of look ahead. Chuck, good morning.
And I'm speaking directly to you, John. All right, more serious level, man to man here. You damn well know, buddy, that a positive ethos is where we need to be. You played, and you know it doesn't start with negativity. Come on, we have an hour here. First of all, Joe Bird, that damn uniform. Whatever you want for it, Joe. I'll wire you right now. Dead serious. Burn that uniform.
$1 million.
It's symbolic. Okay.
No, you say whatever I want. $1 million.
Joe, you want to laugh?
Yeah.
Yes, true stories. Yeah. Well, I'm sworn. I'm always sworn. But yesterday, 4 o'clock, I'm out in the parking lot talking to my CFO, and all these employees are coming out from the building. It's thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Chuck. Hey, Bubba. I'm like, what? Yeah, well, our boss heard the thing on the radio that all businesses should close.
No way.
That's parking great. I'm sworn. The parking lot empty. Marion comes out. My wife says, everybody left the building. It's a 5-story building.
Look, bosses have an obligation. Today, bosses have an obligation.
Hey, listen, we got to stay positive. As far as the point about Ken striking out, no, we struck out below league averages here. It's not the strikeouts. They struck out 9 times per game every game when they hit, when they don't hit. That's not it. Chuck. Take it easy on Harper, my man. Holy Toledo. Now, that arm angle with Manoa, that was filthy. That was Randy Johnson. But if Harper had just guessed on the first pitch, 85-mile-an-hour cookie right on the inside part of the plate where he likes it, but he did. The other two pitches were terrible. Now, listen, the team's batting 204, Joe. Okay? The ERA 6.23. Last year, our OPS was 821. It's 640. We're not hitting. You know, the bats have gone quiet all year long in the second half. What did we lose? 12 out of 16 to the good teams. And in the beginning, we cannibalized the soft part of the schedule. This has happened all season long. But today, we got to change it. Now, do you think by now there's been a meeting with Wheeler's camp? You know there has been. If Wheeler's telling the Phillies press, I'm ready today, I think you got to win this game today and go committee game 5. But you don't have that chance if you don't win today's game, right? You got to go Wheeler today. If he knows his body.
Well, I agree. Chuck, I agree with you. I mean, you know, I've been saying that. And look, it took me a while to arrive at that. And Chuck, great call. I mean, really, really good insight there. So it took me till around 5, well, I guess it was 4:40 or something. I was driving into work today, and I was at a traffic light, and I was like, all right, Wheeler. It wasn't easy. I mean, I thought about it last night. I thought about it early this morning. I kept thinking about it. I finally settled on Wheeler. That's where I'm at. I know a lot of people aren't there. We'll see in a couple minutes where our poll results are. By the way, no Mike Quick today. Obviously, Mike typically with us on Wednesdays at this time. He'll be with us next week. But we're totally into the Phils right now.
Yeah, and Mike, when Mike is with us, Mike Quick is sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. You must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, in the last 3 minutes, I got 2 texts from a buddy. About the show. Text 1 says, I'm so infuriated, but the show is helping. Text 2 says, I never want to hear that bleeping song again.
The duality of Phillies fans right now.
It actually made me feel better than I thought it would.
Me too.
So he clearly was not, you know, on that same wavelength.
No, again, Seltzer, 9:30, we need Rocky. We need it.
Oh, I got it. We're ready. Don't worry. Yep, it's happening. John, and I don't care what anyone out there has to say about it.
I did not feel good about that song. I didn't, like, you guys enjoyed hearing
that song. I felt uncomfortable.
It rubbed me the wrong
way.
You
look uncomfortable in that uniform.
Well, it kind of made me sad because I don't want to say it's lost, but that version of Philly's magic in the postseason feels so far away right now.
I can't find that team.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. I agree with you guys. James, let me ask you a question. Who is the most prominent Philly on or off the field that this will be their last game with the Phillies if the Phillies lose tonight?
Wow, that's a phenomenal question. So Austin Hayes would not be considered prominent.
Like, Marsh would be the baseline. The question is, does it go up to Castellanos? Does it go to Schwarber? Do they dump Trey Turner? Like,
so I don't
do they
think
dump Ranger?
So I think the two names that popped in my head the most, and Castellanos has actually been pretty good for them.
I know.
But because of the contract and because of the way his season seems like it's ending, I would say Nick Castellanos and Alec Bohm are the two people that I would think are most likely to be gone.
That makes sense.
I can't believe we've gotten to this point with Alec Bohm.
Well,
I can't
I'm not there at all.
Okay. I can't believe I feel the way that I feel. I'm so frustrated. I really do believe he is, his attitude, his outlook, where once I felt like it was fixable and it was workable and, you know, he's young, so he'll be, it's just a matter of time. He's not as young. He's 28 years old.
Yeah.
This is not, I mean, he's beyond impetuous and childish. And I feel like that's a bad trait that he just seems to convey.
Keep in mind, he was an all-star this year.
He was, but then he fell apart. He fell apart beyond falling apart. Like, I never could have expected that.
But we don't know if they'd get rid of him that quickly.
I wouldn't. And we know the players have fall apart months, and you just hope it's not late September, October. His happens to be. I mean, he was second in the National League in doubles. He's a pretty good defensive third baseman. I believe he hit about 280. Like, I'm not looking to dump Alec Bohm at all.
I don't agree about the pretty good. Like, we want him to be a pretty good third baseman.
Hey, one other thing I got to correct. I said earlier the Phillies haven't won an elimination game when they can be eliminated since game 5 of 09. I was wrong. I'm just remembering they won game 5 of 2010 versus the Giants in San Francisco, won that game. Jason Wirth had a huge game, but then, of course, they came back and lost game 6.
Cody Ross.
Yeah, exactly. Frank, and by the way, they had the Giants on the ropes, first inning of game 6.
I think it was
3-0 or 2-0.
Yep.
That pitcher was on the ropes.
Yep.
Larry Bowa and I were in a car listening to that together, coming back from a pregame show. They almost won the game in the first inning. They almost won the game, like in the first inning. And someone gets out with the bases loaded, and then Oswald starts spitting it up, and then it's like, all right, we got a game, and then it's like, all right, the season's over. Let's go to Frank. He's calling from North Wales. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys. Joe, I want to piggyback on a really important point you made earlier. But first, how about that epic matchup this past weekend? Did you catch that?
Which one?
The LaSalle Sixers.
Oh, I did. You know, it's funny.
Overtime thriller.
So I swear to God, Frank, if we weren't so immersed in the Phillies, I would have mentioned that, yes, LaSalle. I mean, they pulled a Nick Anderson. They stripped the ball from Michael Jordan. It does happen.
Yes, it does.
And credit to LaSalle for winning a 4-overtime. I'm not going to call it thriller, but a 4-overtime game against my prep. But
it was just a normal 4-overtime game, not a thriller.
We will see them if they get there in the state title game. That's all I'm going to say. Okay.
Wow. Right. All right. So the Phillies point, and this is really important. I want to preface it by saying a couple names. Randy Moss.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Warren Sapp. I'm so tired of Philadelphia being so concerned about the buddy system and a culture, and you pass on a guy like Jazz Chisholm. This is pervaded all the calls today. If you have him in your lineup, I know he was expensive, and I know, oh, God forbid, you know, he's not the best guy.
He wasn't that expensive. I mean, no top 100 prospects got traded at the deadline.
Yeah, I agree, Frank.
You have him in there. You're not worrying about half the things you're worrying about now. We're not putting together an ultra boy group here. We're not putting together a Boy Scout troop. I want mercenaries that come in, drop bombs, and go home. They don't need to go bowling together. They don't need to throw seeds in water. I want people to come in and rake and go their separate ways and stop worrying about fitting in to this buddy-buddy
culture. I think it's a good point, Frank.
That's why I wanted to train for Juan Soto last year.
Yeah, Frank,
if you remember.
I think it's a good point.
Exactly. And they better fix it going forward. God forbid they lose.
Yep. All right, Frank, good call. I mean, we should point out that Juan Soto and the Yankees might lose this round, but he's generally helped them. And
he's been awesome.
I'm well aware. There's no question. Gary in Vineland, New Jersey. Hi, Gary. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary. Mm. Go ahead, buddy.
You know, you said Pete Rose, and that's what I think of, too, when I see Rios. I can't even think of his name. He frustrates me so much. He needs to choke up on the bat.
Wait, I know who are you talking about? I don't know who you're talking about.
Our center fielder.
Rojas.
Yeah.
Like, he just needs to choke up on the bat and just hit foul ball after foul ball.
He does choke up. Like, he does choke up. He's just not good enough.
Gary, he is a minor league player. He's a minor league baseball player.
It's incredible. And we see him try to bunt it. We see him. He's resorted to everything, and he just can't manage to get down that line, get on base. When he gets on base, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a miracle when he gets on.
Oh, at least Marsh has a little bit of a chance to get on.
He's heading down the room and putting passes. The other thing I didn't understand about yesterday is Stubbs is our best player with taking pitches, and they take him out of the game after he had.
Hold on, Stubbs, you're all over the place. Who?
I am all over the place. Bryson Stott.
Stott. Well, the problem is he stinks against lefties, but I'm putting him in there tonight because I got to try something else. I just got to.
Yeah. I'll take his stink over everybody else's stink right now.
Yeah.
If only we had known before this season that Rojas couldn't hit, right? I mean, if only we had known.
It was a complete unknown,
James. You could have done something in the outfield.
I'll say this, James. I'm not bothered by what you just said that time.
Okay, at the trade deadline.
Because there was a good argument. Give Rojas 300 at-bats before the trade deadline. See what he's got. My team's going to make the playoffs anyway. Like, that was reasonable.
I know.
That was reasonable.
I know, but I also think this mentality of they're going to make the playoffs anyway is part of the freaking problem. You know?
All right, let me ask this question. I'm just going to say it. First time in the postseason that this name is invoked, I'm just going to throw it out there. Should Rhys Hoskins have been a Philly? Could have.
Yeah, he wasn't great for Milwaukee, for what it's worth.
He's a lot better than Johan Rojas.
I agree.
Should Rhys Hoskins be on the team?
No.
John?
No, Joe. Remember, we revamped our defense and felt about the fact that we actually had one. It's better. It's better
is
this way.
Is the cumulative
with
defense.
We still have major issues in the outfield.
No, he went cold all the time, too.
But at least he took pitches. At least he went up there with an approach every time.
How many walks does Austin Hayes have, James?
Zero. Yeah. Zero as a Philly. How crazy is that? He's never walked in a Philly's uniform. All right. Hard to believe.
Well, later in the hour, we'll get to the poll results of all these questions. I just want to throw this one out there now, just this question. Is anybody with me? I actually am not even sure myself yet. I got to think of this through for another minute or two. But to strongly consider or do Kyle Schwarber in left field tonight, so you can have Stott play second, you can have Sosa play third, and you can have Boehm DH and Schwarber's bat.
I would DH Wes Wilson. But yes, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
You would DH Wes Wilson with Schwarber.
I would rather have Wes Wilson in life than Alec Boehm against left-hander tonight.
I like that. I prefer anyone.
James, would you put Kyle Schwarber in left field?
If I was going to do that, I'd probably put Wes Wilson in left field because I think he's less likely to get hurt out there. I think they're both bad outfielders. But I am fine with putting Schwarber in left field if it makes the lineup better. Like, whatever you have to do at this point.
By the way,
Wilson, left field, Schwarber, DH, that works too. Just flip it.
And let me just say this. If this is a close game, and it very well may be, at whatever point, 2-2, 0-0, 4-4, whatever, like, Strom and Hoffman got to do their job.
Oh, yeah,
because they're getting into tonight's game. Like, they are in tonight's game.
There's Unless the Mets just take a big lead and never look back, which is certainly possible.
But they still get in the game. Like, at some point, it is a virtual impossibility this game gets played tonight without Strom and Hoffman getting into it, unless the Phillies are up 10-2. So when they get it, they have to.
From your lips.
They have to do their job. They have to do their job. Lenny and Conshohocken. Len.
Guys, I am so disappointed right now. I have a bunch of people to blame, but right now my big blame, and Dombrowski is off the hook for some reason. I want to name you all the trade deadlines over the last 3 years that we got. Syndergaard, trash. Marsh, trash. Estevez, trash.
No.
Every single trade deadline that we've gone to, we've brought in nobody. And if you look across
Well, you got better teams, examples than that. Estevez and Marsh have been better than you're letting on there. But obviously this one really hurt this year with the offense in the outfield.
It's just so bad. And I listen to you guys all the time, and I hear you saying we need to upgrade. We have to upgrade. Seltzer, literally, get rid of your prospects for guys right now. You're telling me that a Luis Robert in center field right now wouldn't make this offense better because you don't want to get rid of Crawford? It is mind-numbing to me. I just cannot continue to watch a lifeless bunch of guys that we love and we literally dedicate our entire summers to. Our entire summers to. 162 nights. Every single freaking night in the summer, and they come out like a lifeless bunch of bums. We deserve better. The city deserves better. I'm fired up. If we don't win tonight, I am going to lose my freaking mind.
All right, Lenny, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man. I get it. I'll say this about effort, because I don't think effort's mostly been the issue, but that was a poor effort by Estevez last night when trying to field a ground ball with a bare hand and then trying to pick up a ball with a glove.
Brutal.
The combination was hurt. It was like, what do we got, a 20-0 lead here and it doesn't matter?
He compounded a bad situation by making it worse, by picking the wrong thing back-to-back.
That was stunning.
Split-second decisions, just really bad ones back-to-back.
Yeah.
And he's been okay, like he hasn't been a disaster, but he's not been good. It was not like a, wow, what a great acquisition, the deadline. To Lenny's point, there have been zero trade deadline acquisitions by Dave Dombrowski that have made a major difference for this team.
Well, I would
and
say
Brandon Marsh is
major,
the closest,
right,
but you know
right.
what? You gave up Logan Ohapi, who's been awesome for the Angels. I know he's blocked here, but it's not like he gave up nothing to get Marsh.
And by the way, and Devin, I think it was you that had JT at bat of the bone, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, I do think we have officially entered into the decline of JT Romeo.
100%. Yeah.
He's the guy I blame
I think we're
the
in, like,
least.
We're starting to get to a steeper part of
like,
it.
Like, I blame him the least because I just think he's one of those, like, he gave you what he could.
Yeah.
He's around, what, 30, 31?
33, dude.
Oh,
but he's
really?
Got to call a better game.
I hear you on that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rhea. Yeah.
I mean, the physical part of him not being, that was fine, but he was killing Aaron Nola last night.
I agree. Yeah.
You know what?
We had a pitch clock penalty because they couldn't get on the same.
Yeah, you
know,
Nola turned out to be right. What
you know
Nola
what,
wanted,
you know what hurt with Nola last night? He couldn't, when he got in trouble in that sixth inning, he couldn't just blow a fastball by a dude.
In like the sixth inning?
That's Nola. I know. Yeah.
But that's part of why Wheeler, Nola's Nola. Like,
without a doubt.
They were spitting on the breaking ball stuff that was, you know, down in the ground that usually is effective because usually guys will swing and all that.
And because he's got pinpoint control.
Like he couldn't get them out on the junkier stuff, and he couldn't blow a fastball by him to just end the at bat. He just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then
there was no easy way out.
Yeah.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.